Elaine.
Good afternoon. This is Judith Anglin with the Bedford-Stuyvesant Restoration Corporation. Today is Thursday, January 31st, 2008, and I'm here at Restoration Corporation with Theodore Gunn for Restoration's 40th Anniversary Oral History Project. Mr. Gunn was formerly the director of the Center for Art and Culture and a Restoration employee for approximately 32 years,
to be honest.
Hi, Mr. Gunn. Welcome. What is your connection to Restoration today?
Well, I'm very proud of it, and it when I first came here, it was a challenge. When I first came to Restoration, it was nothing. The community was torn down, and I came over here from Manhattan. I couldn't believe it. I got off the train and looked at Brooklyn. I said, wow, what are we going to do? What are their intentions? But I met all the fine people that were planning and setting up programs to give Bed-Stuy a new life, a new direction. And that was downtown near St. Felix Place somewhere. And I met all these marvelous people coming together from every corner you can think of the city, and I just wanted to be part of it. And Restoration did it. They did it. White, black, Caribbean, all kinds of people were here formulating, putting things together to give a new life to Bed-Stuy. It's a beautiful place. They had a lot of brownstones and lovely buildings, but they were sort of not being taken care of. But they had plans to revitalize the whole place. So I was glad to come here.
What is Bedford-Stuyvesant community like today?
Well, it's kind of elitist right now because the housings are so expensive. The homes are beautiful. I drive through here sometime and I just can't believe it at this place, how beautiful it is and what could be done. And the crime is even going down. The crime, the kids are trying to get an education, but it's still very hard. There's a lot of work to be done. It's a great deal of work because the young people don't seem to have the unity we had when we first came here. There was a lot of people really seriously involved in getting things done and having a better life for the young people. And a lot of young people, and I was here, this is 30 years ago, they've gone on to college, they are developing, they had things, they went on. And I see the young kids here today don't have some of the activities we had. A lot of them have gone. I said, where have they gone? They said, well, all the activities Restoration put together for the development of the community has since subsided. Maybe they went into business or they outgrew the community and they went out and became successful somewhere else. But this is the foundation of Restoration. They started all these young people out in that. And with jobs, and as young people, they had jobs here waiting for them. When they were out of school, they had these kids going to work. They had these kids going to program. They were learning modeling and good grooming. They were being tutored. They had all these things were worked out. And they had a cultural program that sort of brought them into some sophistication about having pride about themselves and so that they could enjoy life without being doing harm to one another. Well, I'm very proud of what they've done. I just hope they continue to do it and get the funding and the support they need in order for them to give back those same little things that keep a community alive. You can't do it for a little while and then throw it away. You have to keep it perpetually flowing. And that's worth the labor and the time, because we see our young people seem like they just going amok, but I think I'm proud of what they accomplished. I really am. I see young adults, people with families that I knew when they were little kids, and they're out here trying to succeed, they're out here voting, they're out here giving their children education. The whole thing is beautiful. I'm very pleased.
Has the need for restoration changed, grown, or has it remained the same? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, we grow with the community, and different types of things are needed, but the same principles that were set up, they need their cultural inspiration, their athletic institutions to keep their body active, and healthy environments for them to go and be entertained, and for them to develop their own pride in themselves. So the same thing is needed, as I said before, it's just maybe needed in a different way, and the creativity of the people at Restoration is geared towards that change. They will help them and change with them, but with those same principles in mind. All of these areas are important for kids to grow up healthy. You just can't do it for 30 years and have one generation all right and just drop it for the next.
So, how does this role, Restoration role, over the past years differ from previous years? And if you can speak to how has the community changed?
Well, the community has a large number of people that don't, they have different cultures. They come into the schools, and the schools have people from other backgrounds. At one time, Bed-Stuy was Caribbean and Southern mostly. Now you got all kinds of people coming in, and even white Indians from India, all kinds of people are here. It's not like any other community because it's been integrated so heavily. I've never seen a community integrated that much. Sometimes I try to figure out where I can go and get a good Southern dinner because they don't have any. I'm eating foods that I never even heard of, but that's all right. It's okay, but I still like to let people to know that everybody's welcome, but I see the community changing and the kinds of people that are really here that you see every day. Sometimes I wonder where I'm going to go and hear some English. I travel around a lot in Brooklyn, and in some areas it's very seldom hear English spoken. I'm telling you, in Bushwick, and Williamsburg, I go to a lot of places, either it's in Spanish, or some people are speaking African, or Indian, or Oriental, Polish, but most Polish people speak English, and most of the people speak English, but I don't hear English too much. I only hear English a lot in Manhattan. When I'm in Manhattan, I hear people speaking English. Once you leave Manhattan, you'll be after
different language. Do you think Restoration's role, historic role in the community, is different from previous years, or is it the same?
Well, I tell you the truth. I came to be part of Restoration out of love of the arts and the love of my people. I'm talking about here in the United States, because they have not been able to achieve that much. And segregation just was over with for a short period of time. I came here to do something for the black families that were here in Brooklyn, black people, especially culturally, with those things that I knew could unite them. And in the process, it seemed like once you develop your cultural sense of pride, everybody else wants a little piece of it. So it became more, that restoration became more dealing and helping larger numbers of people outside of the original people that they intended to help. So they just opened the doors and those people got up. It was real true American, totally American program. It was unbelievable. We had things that we were doing for us, for the community, and we had other institutions from other cities and other states and from other ethnic groups wanted to join in and be part of this particular thing. So you couldn't turn them away, but we found that it made us more aware of how much energy that a place like Restoration can give to the rest of the world. Because if we could do under these hardships, can do and build cultural and pride and homes and businesses and all the things that go along with Restoration. We made sure people had help designing their homes, made sure they had a little culture. People used to come to the center, wanted to know what kind of drapes and things they could put on to give it a little class, and how to do their gardening, all the other things that artists part of your whole life. The Billie Holiday Theater had all these magnificent programs and plays and things and youth and all. We had so much activity in there, we couldn't keep up with it.
Where did you grow up?
Where did I grow up?
Yeah, where did you grow up?
I grew up in the county of Glasgow, New York City, New York State, in a town called Saugerties, New York. It's an Indian name. That's where I grew up, and my father and my mother moved down to Harlem, and in Saugerties, you didn't see any black people that much. You went to a church, it was a mostly white church, mostly white school. I remember going to, they had an outdoor bakery. So the Italian people would bake bread, you can smell it, and I went out there, I would wait down in this little old, not old, she was older than I was a kid. But I used to wait for her to cook a bread, and she'd always cook a little piece of roll for me. Every day I'd come down and wait to see her. I loved that old lady. I don't know what happened. When we moved, I really cried. Anyway, we moved to New York City. I saw all these black people. I said, Lord, I pray, I didn't know they had that many black people in the world. God, thank you, thank you. I got some people in this world. Anyway, and that's it. I went to school there. My brothers and sisters and things, we grew up in Harlem.
Mm-hmm. What did you used to hear about Bed-Stuy, Bedford-Stuyvesant, before coming to Bedford-Stuyvesant?
I didn't know anything about Bed-Stuy. I didn't know anything about Brooklyn. I was called to help develop develop an institution called the Studio Museum in Harlem with people like Eleanor Norton and Carter Burton and Charlie Ennis and a lot of well-known people, with the people that connected with Jeff Bias III and Charles Coles. Art Forum magazine, that's a magazine they have. A fine group of people, artistic people, they wanted to build a sort of museum to find out what kind of art that they have among the black people in Harlem. And it was built, and I was called to be part of that. And Charlie Ennis was called to be part of that. And he loved the arts, Charlie Ennis did. That was my good friend and buddy. So we worked with them in Harlem Act. We helped work for the Harlem Act Community Development Corporation. And we developed some programs for the arts in Harlem, but not, it's more social kinds of things where it was secondary. But he said he was, Charlie Ennis was the first director of the Studio Museum in Harlem. And he left, and they left me in charge there. So we put on some programs, but he left and came to Brooklyn. And he was in Brooklyn, and he sent for me when he heard that Restoration was going to do something, build something, or restore something over here. He said, I'd like for you to come over there and see if you would like to be working here. And I said, sure, wherever you go, Charlie, we always got this thing. We like to build things. He said, yes, we do.
Was that when you came to live in Brooklyn?
I came over here, then I moved there. I came to Brooklyn. Brooklyn was a mess. They had houses all boarded up and all kinds of things happening. It was unbelievable.
Can you describe Bed-Stuy at the time a little more? You mentioned the houses that were boarded up, lots of structures,
right,
that were...
The streets, and it was a lot of...
Everyday life?
And it was kind of rough. It was kind of rough. I was a little disappointed, and I say, how are we going to do it? But I'm talking to the people, Frank Thomas and Herb Scott Gibson, and I met people like Judge Jones. I say, these are some fine men trying to plan and develop something. I'd like to be part of it, mm-hmm, if I can. Mm-hmm. So I could bring what I knew about building and developing things for the arts and how important it was for the culture of the people to be part of any kind of business or development or programming. Mm-hmm. And so Restoration wanted that to be part, a major part of their development strategies. So I was very pleased with that.
Can you describe the people at the in the community when you first was asked to join these other gentlemen that you mentioned? Or anything, can you talk about
they
the businesses?
They were kind of tough. There were some tough people out here in Bed-Stuy. I mean, they were tough. They...
Challenging?
Challenging. They were tough. They were full of fight. But we wanted to take that fight and put it into, building and to being creative, to get jobs and put that energy to work. Mm-hmm. And you know something? They did, and some beautiful things came out of it. People had that energy, and they just focused it in the right way, and it started to work. It was slow at first, mm-hmm, but when it caught on, it just shot like fire. And people from all over, and I said, Lord have mercy, so long, New York, so long, Manhattan, I found a home.
What about the businesses at the time? Were there at the time,
they had a lot of businesses that were black, but they were run down. They didn't have the appearance of being something that you want to eat in or things like that. It was so much had to be done. Just Restoration started something from scratch and gave classes and gave seminars and gave lectures, and the people came out and they gave them information on how to deal with starting a business and how to maintain it, how to keep it attractive, how to maintain yourself or even your homes, how to keep it clean, how to do landscaping, how to invest in your homes and how to invest in your business. So if you're driving by, you want to get off the bus and come and buy something here. Otherwise, if you're driving through, we was driving, say, get the bus out of here as fast as you can. I'm not going to get off. Wait till you get to the other part of town, I get off. But they worked hard. They went to talk to, they went from door to door. They had these seven centers that they had, five centers. They went and located centers in different areas of Bed-Stuy, and they went from home to home and tried to, and they did succeed in getting the people together and had all these different areas of things that they would work in. Then they brought them to the main complex. It took a long time to finish it, but it was finished, and they had a major complex to come to and also get information and see what we were doing there so they can bring it back to their own little smaller neighborhood and to their own homes. We had things where you could see what you do to redo your house, how to maintain your house, and how to learn things about how to pay for them. We call mortgages. They had mortgage lending. They had instructions how to repair, how to make the value of your house increase. They just had so many. They had people that went around and got cars removed off the street. You count cars, we'd call up sanitation department and thing and have them remove the cars because they were abandoned. All we had people talk about windows that were broke and homes that were abandoned and people were living in there. We went and let the police know and let the city know that those places were abandoned, that they should be boarded up or something or rehabbed. So they rehabbed a lot of houses and sold them to people and things like that. It was a lot of things going on. Then we had entertainment for them.
What about the schools and outreach with education, and what kind of environment, the schools and the community?
Well, we had a lot of things where we had young people. We had programs for young people. We had tutoring for young people that if their parents came by and said they're having trouble with their English, it seemed like they're not succeeding in that. They had classes that we had in each one of the centers that helped with those. And the parents could come by and the kids, we had teachers there that would come and help them. And we had also activities for the children. And we kept them active in sports and in art programs. We had things for young teenage girls, like from 10 or 11 to 14, modeling and just good grooming for themselves, how to maintain and take care of themselves as young women, how to dress themselves to prepare for success. We had programs for girls that were coming out of school and young boys, how you dress to go and see about employment. And we had summer youth programs where they had jobs for the youth all during the summer, so they knew what it was to go to work and be responsible. They didn't pay them that much, but they earned and learned business. I don't see that. They don't have that today.
Yeah, they do.
They don't have it like they had before. It's just a small amount. They used to have a large number of young people. Now, I think they have just adults. It seemed like they're adults. A lot of immigrants are taking those jobs from the kids that were growing up and had those experiences. Now the kids don't have any real particular jobs to do, training, because people got to deal with it for their own life. I mean, to make a livelihood, where they had that little bit of change for children to learn and practice how to get jobs.
What about the political activity at the time in the community? You mentioned that the people were very strong and required and challenged a lot in terms of betterment.
Well,
of
you had a lot of people that were being elected to office, black people that were being elected to office, and they really had their interests of the community at heart, and they were fighting every day for all the things that they needed in order to stimulate growth, development, decent houses, and the health of the children. They opened up, Restoration opened up a lot of health centers, and we were concerned with all these things. And we had regular hospitals and things all around, but these health centers were meant to really deal with preventing these people from getting so sick that they got to go to the hospital for a long time or for.
That's the Bedford Stuyvesant and Family Health Center.
Family Health Center.
Referring to.
These are all the things that they were doing. And we tried to, the job that I had was try to make them all as pleasant and as attractive.
Through the arts.
Through the arts. That when you come and sit down, you're not sitting down waiting in an environment that looks like you're going to prison rather than health care or something. Because some places look like it was not intended for you to feel good sitting down, or you have hope sitting down. They even built hospitals that were so ugly. That hospital on Flushing and what do you call them?
Woodall
looks like a coal mine that they have in Virginia. I was in Virginia. That coal mines look better than that. It's attractive. It's an attractive thing inside. It's nice, but it looks like you get it in, you're not coming out. I don't know who designed and who okayed that design for a hospital. A hospital should look like something. If you walk in there, you say, "Oh, I'm here at the hospital. God, thank God," or something. But you look at that place, you say, "Well, call the wagon or something."
Restoration provided hope.
I want to know who built the hospital with looking like that. Who okayed that? What kind of mind did you have? What kind of mind? It has no sense of any hope in it at all. I see hospitals all over always look like there's some kind of hope in it.
So restoration, you'd say, provided hope and wellness and opportunities, potential for wellness and healing and hope.
Well, the people seem to want to get back. The people that have left best, I seem to want to get back at it, because I see all kind of people, and the prices of homes are going up. Mm-hmm. At one time, you can get the homes here for a little or nothing. And we were trying to get the people to reinvest in the community. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them did. And so they were fortunate.
Can you talk about some key individuals or key organizations? You mentioned a number of people earlier, but key people, for key organizations in terms of partners and funders, supporters, elected officials that supported or that you worked with at during your time?
Well, I know a lot of people worked with. Senator Javits, Bobby Kennedy, Ethel Kennedy, the Kennedy family, Ted Kennedy, Howard Golden was very, that was a man and a half. He was really unbelievable. No wonder he was so long president. But Al Vann, all the black ones, Ned Robinson, every elected official in Brooklyn and in other parts, they would really put their minds together. There's John Doerr, there's a lot of other people that were part of the DNS board. There was Charlie Palms. There was an army of people that, if I could write all the names, I would think I'd be writing all day. But
what about some of the people that
it was,
you worked with?
The mayor.
The arts,
it was the mayor. It was, oh, the arts. He had all kinds of people.
Funders and supporters.
The Rockefellers, the Astors, some of the major contributors to all the cultural developments of the city were in some way connected with helping restoration do the thing that they want to do. So they're good people and good programs out there that will be funded by good foundations.
What about some of the organizations that you work with?
Oh, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, Brooklyn Museum, the Brooklyn Arts Council, the Brooklyn Museum, so many other organizations that were part of the clock towers, some of the colleges and some of the universities that work with us, the Smithsonian. We did work with the Smithsonian. We worked with other the Chinese Cultural Organization in Chinatown was over here working with us. We worked with the people from the Caribbean, a lot of people from the Caribbean. What's that parade they have every
year? The West Indian Labor Day Parade.
The Weeksville. Every organization you can think of. I have to sit down. There's just so many. They come through my head. But if a lot of ministers and a lot of churches we worked with. We work with other schools, we work with colleges, mm-hmm. we work with organizations from other cities and states. We work with the Corrections Department to deal with exhibits and things from incarcerated people who are incarcerated who are getting out, people who were mm-hmm. still in prison. We were helping them earn some money or have a chance when they do come out that they be recognized. So we had a lot of exhibits. One time we had one from four states. We had a big show here from four states. And we had the People's Republic of China, a mission to the UN, had a big show here, and we had a connection that we had with them in reference to exchanging cultural programs. Restoration became a little more than just a local Bed-Stuy thing. It became so that different states, different governments, different different countries were sending representatives. We had from Ghana, from Venezuela. We had people from students from Germany. We sent out some of our artists out to Denmark. We had a dance program that traveled to different parts of Europe. We had a drum and bugle corps that we had. We had a basketball, football teams. Mm-hmm. We had classical music. We had everything you could think of. Mm-hmm. Programming and the theater. The theater was, we were all like one family. Something that happened in the theater, we would hold receptions for them in the gallery. So, and when things would happen with the gallery, they would announce it in the theater. And it was all sharing and interacting. We interacted with other cultural groups too that had a right to come in. We had church programs, we had senior citizens, we had programs for the homeless. We had worked with the different ex-offenders when they came out to make sure that they had help in getting themselves started and in the right foot. Restoration is just—it's really unique. You can't sum it up in political words. It's an emotional thing, and I hope it stays here and those kind of programs stay in communities and keep them energizing, so that you'll never have the sort of the negative turn back where they had these things, now they're gone. They should be continuously, and it will save, the government should do that, and the states and cities should do that in order to just keep their communities alive. That's an investment, that's not nothing that's just.
Which leads us to this question. Did restoration have struggles or difficulties with financial?
Well, naturally you're going to have financial, but you had such dedicated workers. The people that were here was the things that kept it going. There were times when we didn't have enough money, at times when funding slowed down, but people stayed at work. They took cuts. They did all kinds of things to keep the program running, because the people said if they lost them, they didn't know what they would do. But those are for the people. Those are for the people, and these same people pay taxes. Even if they're poor, they pay taxes. They pay taxes every time they buy bread, every time they get on the train, everything they buy here, they pay taxes on it in this city.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the most important programs Restoration instituted, in your opinion?
The housing, where people could afford to get decent housing, and for the senior citizen, and for young people. I think their housing program was one of the very most important. I think the economic help that they gave for small businesses, that still with the businesses and the mortgage for their homes and things like that. And their educational programs, making sure that they had access to community colleges and little programs, because within Restoration they had a lot of colleges to stimulate people that didn't finish high school to finish their high school and then start on going to college. Mm-hmm. And they had them within the complex, within their complex. And they that thing started to kick off, so it's all over now. Those little two colleges that were in the restoration, now they have them all over. They have downtown and little lofts and things mm-hmm. like that, but restoration had some of those early. Mm-hmm. The first ones to have them. And their cultural programs was very important. I'm telling you, this building looked like it didn't belong in. You walked into this building and you didn't think you were in Bed-Stuy. That lobby was like, you didn't want to break up nothing, but that's where they came to go to the theater. That's where they came to go to see artists. And we made sure that there was places for mothers with carriages, they could come. They bring their children, because children got to develop that. Mm-hmm. It's part of their life at a young age. But the theater was always packed with people coming to see plays and programs that were given. It really was. We had workshops for kids. We had little children museums with kids. We had workshops for
the
children.
Bubblegum players.
Right, and they had players for young people dealing with their performances. Andre Gay, I know, had a dance program, had put on a lot of like Broadway shows, but with the children, for parents. So all of this is trying to say that culture, if they don't have it in the schools, there should be something close by in the community where they can have that kind of activity. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things they cut in the budget of the schools, especially in poor communities, was their art program. They didn't need art. They didn't need this and that. And Restoration defied that. They defied that whole concept. And they said art is an integral part of developing any kind of revitalization in a community. Because if they don't have any sense of their own art and their own culture, they won't respect nothing. And when they had the riots in the, remember they had the riots? Riot in the end, it was running through Brooklyn when all this stuff was happening. I stood out in front of the window. They broke stores. They didn't break one window of Restoration. They walked right by. They were walking and tearing up places. They didn't want to touch that because it was something important to them. I started to see they walked right by and then hit the stores as they passed by.
What do you feel is Restoration's most important role or legacy and most important accomplishment during the time that you were here running the Center for Art and Culture?
The communication between other institutions. When the major institutions started recognizing that we were doing something on a level to be respected, and we were. We showed them there were artists out here in little basements creating, because it's their natural instinct. And the things that they produced, they didn't know people could create that kind of work. But they saw it here. And then they interacted with us. They started exchanging exhibits. They started working in connection with, even the Smithsonian sent exhibits over here.
You're traveling exhibitions.
Right, they came right outside. Here. And it was exciting. And we had one from the Rockefeller wing that we had a reception here that was fabulous. It was just unbelievable. We had an unbelievable show. And we had shows here of prominent artists, upcoming artists, exhibitors, and we made posters and documented them for history. And I remember Rocky Mitchell said he gets these posters put out here, but when he went to Washington and he went somewhere and he said he saw all these posters that were created from all over the country, and he said out of every three or four, there was one for Restoration. Out of another one, there was one for Restoration. Out of another one for Restoration. We had posters about the from the ex-offenders, we had posters from the handicapped, we had posters from the senior citizens, we had posters from upcoming artists, we had posters from ex-drug addicts, and all of these things were beautiful. And then you had works that were just done by some artists from all over from the different countries in the Caribbean. You had artists by different ethnic groups from the Caribbean. It was unbelievable. And we sent all those posters when they were completed. We sent sets of them to Washington, to the National Endowment. We sent with the backgrounds and the history of the show. And we also sent them to the New York State Council on the Arts.
And these organizations are major funders.
Right, and they kept
arts.
Those things. They kept, in fact, Rocky Mitchell said, "Now I see why you're doing it." He was in Washington, and he said he felt pretty good that we saw some of the things, and he saw the Restoration Center for Art and Culture
represented there.
Yes, we worked with the mayor. What's his name now?
Was it Lindsay, Mayor Dinkins?
Lindsay was when we were trying to work with the HRUAC. It was Mayor Koch.
Mm-hmm.
It was, after Koch, it was the mayor. Dinkins. Mm-hmm. There, all of them were part of it. We had a lot of political people giving us help. I'm telling you, the board of directors of Restoration had all the people that you can think of. The whole spectrum of life was among those board members, and they were there just wheeling and dealing with things and helping this community do better. But as I said, it's still here. It is the first one. Bobby Kennedy was. And Ethel, very, very good, and their kids were here. But our people to make sure that the board and everything else worked. They had other organizations, some antagonistic, but always supporting you, and some was always watching everything you do. And if you didn't do it right, they were busted. But that's healthy. That's very good. You had the support, because when we needed support, they were fighting our behalf. And the churches were involved, and every little organization were interreacting. I'm just very proud to be here.
Tell me about a proud moment in your work at Restoration during those years you were coming.
I had a proud moment when I was at a meeting with Frank Thomas. Said he was looking at the 6 months report or something, and he said that I was in the black. He said he's the only one that was in the black out of the departments, and it was just a little thing, but because we were working very hard, sometimes we work. Get up early but he was very proud of that. He said, you documented it well, too, it's okay. But what I really liked was that when the Smithsonian sent and said that they want this to use our facility for a traveling show and for the Metropolitan to send their first exhibition of 20th century art from the 20th century art collection to send a show of their work that they have by African-American artists that they hadn't shown, and to have it shown here at Restoration. That really. And then the Met having to choose us to host the connection between the New Guinea people's art and African art and African American art.
Okay.
And they had that exhibit throughout the building here. And they chose for that. And they had the president of the Met, the director of the Met, and the board members of the Met came to our reception. We had some exciting times, we really did. And one was when the People's Republic of China, mission to the UN, had a show here and they came. Then they had their head of their mission come over here. You gotta realize that's, you know, a third of the people in the world are in China. And for them to think about this little place here in the big city of New York, that they were had their exhibit here. And that was Frank Thomas. It was kind of exciting.
Mr. Gunn, you've just identified several proud moments, and I dare say I imagine you may have had many others over the many 30-odd years that you worked here. So your work at Restoration carries on, and certainly you have identified Restoration as a catalyst for different
But Restoration purposes. Made me fall in love with working for the people. That's why I'm part of the Brooklyn Arts Council. I'm one of the oldest members of the Brooklyn Arts Council, which Charlene Victor was started. And I'm still, I don't know how valuable I am to them, but I love to be around and watch and see things grow and progress. I can't always be part of it, but I can be part of giving advice or some opinion that may help them bypass some negative thing. But
you're still in an advisory capacity with the Brooklyn Arts Council.
I'm still on the board. I've been on the board for a little.
How many years?
I guess about 28, 30 years. When I first came, I came in to be part of them when they first started. And if you want to know any more about Bed-Stuy, you just look up in the archives and you can see all the things. There's so many things for them to be proud of. Tell them don't give up the excellence and the direction they want to go. If you're going to improve, just improve it to be much better, more beautiful than what it really is.
Thank you, Mr. Gunn.